Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a kind of a personal thing for me, but I do like to watch sports. You guys like watching sports? Anybody like to watch sports? What sports do you like to watch? Huh? American football. What do you like? Soccer. What do you like, Koichi? Baseball. We got all kinds of different sports that we like to watch, right? I personally like to watch football, American football. And one of the things that I like about watching football is just the strategy that goes into the game as it's being played. You know, one of the ways that determines how good a team is, of course, is the caliber of the players, but also how well they are able to play together. How well can they sync together as a team and work with each other as a team? You know, and as I think about it, a lot of times, you know, they get in the huddle, the quarterback calls out the play, they get into position, the quarterback says, hike, and then everything goes into motion. All the different players work synchronized to work out the play. Each player has a specific role, right? Each player has a specific role, whether it's throwing the ball, whether it's catching the ball, running with the ball, even pretending to catch or pretending to run with the ball. We see all of these different things going into play. What's amazing is that each player that plays has an active role in that team. And that active role is intricately connected to the other players' roles. They all have to work together. What this means is that each player has to not only understand his role in playing the game, but also how his role interacts with the roles of the other players. When the team understands that and does it well together, they're very successful. Each play, the whole team is actively working together to accomplish the goal of that play. Right? When one person doesn't understand his role, doesn't do what he's supposed to do, often the play breaks down and does not succeed. So understanding your role in football as well as in life is an important thing. Just to kind of display it a little bit, even in the huddle, right? Man, when the players get together in the huddle, I think I have a picture of the huddle, right? Here's a picture of the huddle. Green Bay Packers all getting huddled up. There's one guy, 12. I think it's 12. Who's that? I don't know. Probably Rogers. One guy in the huddle tells everybody else what to do, right? He may not be the strongest player. He may not be the fastest player. He may not be the smartest player, but he's the one who tells the team what the play is going to be. Why does he get to do that? Why does he get to be the one who tells everybody else what to do? Well, the truth is, he's actually not. He actually has a receiver, a radio receiver in his helmet, and his coach is telling him what the next play is, typically. His coach is telling him what the next play is, and all he's doing is he's listening to what the coach says the next play is, and he says, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. He simply tells the others what he has heard from the coach. On one hand, we're talking about the quarterback. On one hand, the quarterback has a role of authority, telling everyone what to do, but at the same time, he has the role of submitting to what the coach tells him to tell the rest of the team. So why am I telling you all of this, and what does this have to do with the passage that we are going to be studying today? Well, it actually has a lot to do with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul starts talking about the new topic, football. And so we're excited to be getting into the series of football. No, I'm just kidding. So he does talk about the roles of authority and submission. How do we play our roles that have been given to us? And how does that work together How do both of those roles of authority and submission work together to display God's glory, and how important it is to understand those roles in the right way, and how playing out those roles as a team helps. So the passage we're going to be looking at does have a lot of potential to be misunderstood, to be misinterpreted, and to be taken the wrong way. So my goal as we go through this passage is to help us to see this passage in a clear, easy to understand way that will help our relationships, strengthen our relationships with one another. So we're going to read through the passage all together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to read through verses 2 through 16. And in this passage, Paul talks about men and women and the role that they play as image bearers of God. Okay? We're going to read through the whole passage first, and then we'll start working through it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16. We're going to read it. I'll read it. It says this: Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. That's the same as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Let her get a short haircut. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Verse 10, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourself. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. And finally, verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Today, you may be wondering, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? What is this passage talking about? What's all this conversation about this head covering? I almost thought about titling it head coverings with like !!! What's Paul talking about here? How is the length of our hair connected to how we worship? What are all these differences in the roles that Paul is talking about between men and women? There's a lot in this passage, right? And so today we're going to be looking a little bit about this passage. Here's the thing. This passage, what's interesting about this passage is Paul, part of this passage is Paul is directly speaking to all of us. Anybody who hears this passage, so this part of this passage directly applies to us. Part of this passage kind of applies to the Corinthian church family, just like we saw in the last passage where Paul is talking about how to deal with meat that was offered to idols. Now, in our day-to-day life, it's going to be very rare for us to deal with a circumstance that has to do with meat that has been previously offered to idols. And yet we can take that same process, that same way of thinking, and apply it to our lives, right? There's parts of this that are like that, and then there are parts of this that directly apply to us that we can just read it straight for what it says and say, oh, okay, I get this, okay? So there's a couple of different parts of this, and this is a long passage, and there's a lot in here. So we're going to split this up into a 3-year series so that we can really cover it. Well, I'm just kidding. for 2 weeks. We're going to talk about it for 2 weeks. And so bear with me, all right, as we work through this together. And actually, it's really interesting. It's actually really helpful as we study this passage. And I know this is a passage that some of us are like, Steve, just talk about it quick and let's move on. But there's a lot of good stuff here. So I'm going to be talking about it. All right? Let me introduce the roles. There's some interesting roles being played here. Paul first praises the Corinthian church family for remembering him. In verse 2, he talked about, hey, man, I praise you guys. You remembered me. You asked me the different things. This is really interesting because right before he's like, man, you guys aren't doing well here. And now he's going to be talking about, hey, you guys aren't doing well here either. But he remembers that there are some really good things about what the Corinthians are doing. One of them is they remember to ask him about things they're not sure about. This is another one of those questions. Paul, what do we do about this? And Paul says, I'm glad you asked me. Thank you for remembering me and then listening to what I tell you about these things. So there's a part of Paul where he's like praising him, thanking him for remembering, to ask him for help in understanding these things better. And then he starts to teach them about one of these things that they could learn to do a little bit better. And he does this by introducing three relationships. This is how he begins to talk about this topic. And it starts in verse 3. He said this, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Having read the whole passage, it appears that the main relationships of these three relationships seems to be the middle one. There's the head of every man is Christ. That's the first relationship, first connection. The second connection, the head of the woman is the man, and this is kind of where he seems to be focusing on the whole passage. And then the third relationship, the head of Christ is God. In this middle section, the head of the woman is the man, it's sandwiched between two other relationships, two other connections. One connection, the head of man is Christ. The other connection, the head of Christ is God. What's interesting is it really does, verse 1, remember where verse 1 Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ? It points back to the part that he talked about earlier about loving your brothers and sisters by being willing to set aside things that you may have freedom to. But it also points to the future, too. Hey, listen, if in our relationships, in all these different roles that we have, there is the pattern that God has set in place, and in order for us to understand this pattern, we have to look to who? Christ. Christ is the focus. Christ is our understanding of following Him in fulfilling our roles in our relationships. God has set a pattern in place that flows through all of creation. And this pattern, this connection, this relationship is a pattern on one hand of authority, the role of authority, and on the other hand, the role of one under authority. And how these things work is really important. We see this pattern in all of creation, in all kinds of relationship dynamics. We see it in the government. We see it in the family. We see it in school. We see it in the workplace. We see it everywhere. This is a pattern that God has put in place through all of creation. And He even displays it within the Trinity itself. And so we're going to see how Jesus helps us to understand the role of authority and the role of one under authority, because Jesus in this verse displays both roles. For us to be able to see that is really important. How do we fulfill the one with authority and the one under authority? First, Jesus shows us how to fulfill the role of one with authority. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. How did Christ display the role of authority? If you read through his life and you see the things he says and the things he does, we see a pattern of loving and serving. If you have the role of authority in the relationship dynamic, you're the one in authority, you fulfill that role by loving and serving those that have been placed under you, just like Jesus loves and serves us. Remember when Paul was talking about the marriage relationship? And in the marriage relationship, Paul said to the husbands, guys, love your wives the way Christ loved the church. He says, love your wives the way Christ loves the church. Husband, role of authority. Wife, one under authority. Guy up in the authority, you love your wife the way Christ loves the church. How did Christ do it? Simply put, he gave his life for the church. That's what we read about last week. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbled himself and he gave his life. The shepherd gives his life for the church. Jesus told, remember, they're heading to Jerusalem. Jesus and the disciples are heading to Jerusalem. The disciples are like starting to like get on each other. Which one of us is the greatest? Man, and it kind of happened because of James and John, the sons of thunder. They're like, Lord, let us kind of like sit on the right hand and the left hand. It'd be awesome. I think we play that role pretty well. So I think that'd be good for us too. And then you know, Jesus is like, oh, well, we'll see about that, you know, kind of thing, right? Well, after they started talking about that, you know, Peter had a little something to say. And the other boys had something to say. And so they're starting to kind of get on each other. And Jesus hears this conversation. Which one of you guys is going to be the greatest? And so he starts talking. Hey, guys, listen. You really want to know who's going to be the greatest among you? It's going to be the one who serves. If you want to be great, learn to be a servant. Not long after that, the greatest among them becomes the servant by washing the feet of those who are under his authority. You see how Jesus displays the pattern of how one who has the role of authority uses that role by loving and serving. You see how that works? Jesus did not just display the role of authority. The head of man is Christ. He also played the role of one under authority. The head of Christ is God, which is really interesting. In the same way that in order for us to understand our role as one who has authority by looking to Jesus, we also understand our role of one under authority by looking to Jesus. How does Jesus fulfill his role? We read a verse last week that perfectly displayed Jesus fulfilling the role as one who is under authority. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says this, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here Jesus is saying, Jesus and God at the same level, but they're going to be taking two different roles. And so the role of one under authority, verse 7 says this, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Stop right here and look at this for a second. Jesus made himself of no reputation. There's involuntary lowering of oneself. You see that? And he takes on himself the form of a servant. I keep trying to say serpent, but that's not good. Servant, right? This is really interesting because it helps us to see the role. There's something interesting. Having a role of one under authority has nothing to do with value or quality, being less than the one you submit to. All throughout the Bible, Jesus is clearly seen as being on the same level as his Father. Look at John 1:1. John says this about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, talking about Jesus. The Word was with God. He was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is equal to his Father, equal with his Father, but he chose to humble himself and submit himself to his Father, and he did it willingly. He did it voluntarily. Jesus, the one who said, "I and the Father are one," also said, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." You see this voluntary submission. So here's what this means. If we look at Jesus, so looking at Jesus, if we have the role of one under authority, to follow Jesus, it means to choose to submit yourself, to be willing to humble yourself, because that's what the role requires. Does that make sense? It has nothing to do with one role having value over another, but rather how the roles work together. Just like football. Let me go back to football. On the football team, there are five men who are without a doubt the strongest men on the team. They are the powerhouse of the team. But what's interesting is out of those five men, four of them never touch the football the whole game. They never touch the football. Their role is to do one thing. Show me the next screen right here. These four men, one, two, three, four, and then five right there on the edge, their role is to serve the quarterback, to help the quarterback by making sure that the other team does not get to the quarterback, right? The front line. They stand in front of the quarterback. They protect him from the team as he runs the play. They submit to what the quarterback says, but they are by no means the weaker ones. See how that works? Does that make sense? In this middle relationship, we see how the roles, the middle relationship that Paul is talking about in verse 2, man and woman, we see the roles that each play as they follow Jesus. Now we see a little bit, okay, so what's my role? How do I play it well? And Paul, to help us understand the pattern that God has set in place, goes all the way back to creation. All the way back to creation. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. For a man, indeed, ought not to cover his head. And we'll talk about head coverings next week. That'll be a lot of fun, too. Yeah, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, as much as the man is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. That's interesting. Verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. When you go back to Genesis 2, we see that God created Adam. And to Adam, he said, this is your role. I want you to glorify me. God is saying this. God says, Adam, I want you to glorify me. How do you do that? How do you use your role of authority? You do it by caring for the things that I have created. You are the caretaker. You serve my creation by caring for them. You care for it like I would care for it. That was God giving Adam the role of one with authority. And he serves and he follows and he obeys his heavenly Father by caring for the creation that God put him into the role of having authority over. Right? See that? Then later, God formed Eve from part of Adam as a helpmeet for him. Eve, here's your role, God says. This is your role. You care for Adam. It is not good that he is alone. That boy needs a lot of help, so you help him. That's basically what the role is that God has put. Just like the coach tells the quarterback, quarterback, you lead the team. This is your role by telling them, by giving them the instructions that I gave you. And then he tells the front line, guys, you take care of the quarterback. You make sure that nothing happens to him. You help him. He needs help. He's a little guy. Those guys are going to kill him if you don't. So you help him. See how that role plays in following the role, listening and helping him. Also notice when God put this pattern, this relationship pattern in place, this role of authority and role of one under authority. This is not the effect of sin. This is not the effect of sin. God didn't put these roles in place after Eve and then Adam ate the fruit that they were not supposed to eat, disobeying God and causing sin and the effects of sin into their life. This is something that God had put in place as part of the creation pattern. It's part of these roles that God has given to each one. It's part of God's creation and Him seeing this as good. It's a good thing. It's part of God's pattern for His creation. So where does sin come in? What sin does is it makes those roles a lot harder to follow. Remember what God told Adam after their sin? Adam, you still have to care for your family. You still have to care for creation. You still have to care for your wife. But now, it's going to be hard. You have to toil. You have to do things that you may not want to do. You have to sweat. You're going to have to really grunt and groan. You're going to have to do everything you can and sweat and do things that you don't want to do in order to fulfill the role that I gave you. The role doesn't change. It just makes it a lot harder. For Eve, he said the same thing. You will care for Adam. Your role of caring will also be very difficult. Childbearing will be a pain. It'll be horrible. But also he said, your desire will be for him, but he will rule over you. And he's kind of talking about this aspect of, it's going to be harder for you to submit. It's going to be harder for you to lower yourself, to be willing to humble yourself, because you're going to want his role. You still have to fulfill your role. It's just not going to be easy. You have to force yourself to be humble. Just like Adam has to force himself to work and to provide. The roles are still there in the way that God had placed them. He didn't change the roles, but our sin makes it a lot harder. Our heart makes it a lot harder for us to fulfill those roles. Today, I got to close. Finally, let's look at how both men and women, as they play their roles, help and rely on one another. Verse 11 and 12 says this. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. We need each other. Verse 12. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Do you see the balance? See the balance there? Neither role can be played without the other. Front line can't play without a quarterback to defend. And the quarterback sure can't play without the front line to defend him. In the same way, neither role can be played without the other. All through Adam came Eve, but also through birth, man comes from woman. And both man and woman come from God. Go back to verse 11, because there's an important phrase. The very first phrase in verse 11, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man, in the Lord. In both roles, we play out our roles by following the pattern of Jesus. When we do that, we glorify Him as our Lord, because we display Him in the roles that we play. Does that make sense? God gives us this amazing pattern. We see this pattern in the relationship of men and women, but we also see this pattern, like I said, in many other relationships. And the same process of following the roles applies in the other relationships as well. Boss, if you're the boss, if you're the head of the company, or if you play the role of one in authority, you know how you care for your team? By helping them, by loving them and serving them. As one who is under the boss, you know how you follow your boss? You know how you play that role of one under authority? You choose to submit to him. You choose to submit to him. If you play the role of a teacher, you know what your goal is, right? You love and you care for your students by teaching them as best as you can. You give your time to help them to learn, to grow. And as a student, as one who has a teacher over you, you follow your teacher, one who is under the teacher, by submitting to them, by listening to what they tell you, by obeying them, by focusing in and working hard to do what they tell you to do. Parent and child, same thing. Dad, mom, you love your kids. By loving, you play your role well by loving and serving your kids. Taking care of them, providing for them. Kids, you serve your mom and dad by choosing to submit to them, by choosing to obey them. Not doing so because if you don't, then you're gonna get in big trouble, but you do it because you love them and you want to follow them. You choose. They don't force you to obey them. You choose to obey them. See the difference? When we fulfill our roles, and the same for men and women in the relationships that you have as well, in these different roles that God gives us, when we choose to follow our roles in the way that God has designed from the top of creation all the way down through the whole expanse of creation, when we do those things, we display the glory of the one who created us and the one who chose to put us in those roles to glorify Jesus. To glorify God Himself. Remember that. In the roles that we play, we get to glorify God by following Jesus, who displayed how to fulfill those roles in the perfect way. Let's remember that. And let's remember, as we fulfill our roles, to follow Jesus. All right? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what you have reminded us today. Each role, sometimes we find ourselves in a role of authority. Sometimes we find ourselves in a role of one under authority. In both ways, help us to know our role. Help us to understand our role. And help us to see how it connects with the other roles that those around us have. To be working in the dynamic of pursuing the goal of glorifying our Father by fulfilling our roles to help those around us. Jesus, thank you for giving us the perfect example of how to follow that. Help us to look to you. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you so that we can follow you step by step after you. In so doing, glorify our Heavenly Father in the way that you also glorified your Father. Thank you for all these things. Remind us to do so. In Jesus' name. Amen.